Nin, thank you so much for joining me. Episode number one of what I hope would go on to become a mini-series.
Yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Brian. It's always a pleasure to not only be on the phone with you like this and recording a session like we've done. You know, we spoke about this a few times. We've done a couple of episodes, and now we're going on to a mini-series. I'm really, really excited, and it's good to see you again.
Same here. So, Nin, you have a very diverse and interesting background. You graduated in advertising and marketing. Your experience is in sales. And you even worked on cruise ships. You know, you're not a dentist. However, you have converted hundreds and even thousands of patients for Invisalign treatment. So my question is for the listeners that don't know you or are not familiar with your work yet. How do you describe yourself? Are you a marketeer? Are you a business consultant? Are you an Invisalign coach? What is it about you that makes you special?
Yes. Well, I liked everything you said there. And the answer is yes to everything. So which actually brings me on to the dilemma is like technically I'm a business consultant. So people say to me, hey, you know, what do you do? I'm a business consultant. And then they say, great, what do you do? So I have to kind of go dig deeper and into the niches, and I've labeled myself as an Invisalign growth consultant because that seems to be the experience I've had, going over 10 years now. I do get labeled and pigeonholed as marketing, because of the knowledge I have with running ad campaigns, digital marketing, and then also the insight that we get when we work with a client, that you really got to peel back the layers to really find out what they're doing. So marketing, yes, business consultancy, because it's not just about marketing. You know, if you focus just on marketing, then I think you're not really getting the full picture. And this is way deeper than marketing. We're talking about processes and systems, yeah? So effectively, I'm a business consultant. I label myself as an Invisalign growth and dental practice consultant. But yeah, everything you said is true.
That's awesome. How long have you been working in the dental industry?
I started in 2008. I was working in digital marketing, and we had a really cool product. There was an agency in London I was working with where we could track the phone call back to a Google click. And it was very, very high tech for those days, 2008. And it was doing well, where Invisalign got a sniff of what we're doing and I say, hey, you know, some of our clients, some of our dentists are using your product. Is there any way we can collaborate? And we did. So we ended up actually going around with the TMs, the territory manager of Invisalign. They would go around up and down the country. I would go along with them, bit of a tag team. And these were the days when Invisalign would actually sell packs. So you would buy a 5-case pack, a 10-case pack, even a 20-case pack. And in those days, if you committed to a case pack, you were committed. You would have to sell those. So it was like that the TM would go in and try and upsell them, which is brilliant. Obviously, the dentist wants to grow, and then they would use my marketing. Yeah. So from that, I got to work with one dentist who referred me. Next thing, all the clients I work with are dental practices. And that actually brings me on to like why I started doing what I was doing, because I just saw that this is not about marketing. I watched them invest so much money in systems and, you know, attraction products like marketing, websites, leaflets, newspapers, all these things. And I was like, wow, you guys, like, you're attracting so many patients, but by the time they finish into conversion, you're losing so many. And what I, from a, you know, my background in sales and marketing, I just saw that there were so many holes that they weren't aware of. And I just wanted to help. That's when I started my consultancy back in 2013.
That's awesome. It's not just about marketing. And this is why I wanted to talk to you today, because I wanted to talk about selling. More specifically, I want to talk about how to increase case starts in the practice. And according to your experience, there's one crucial step in the process that is often overlooked by dental professionals, which is qualifying before booking the patient in. So can you tell me more about that?
Yes. In fact, before I answer that question, everyone listening, you know, fingers crossed, it's they have a dental practice and they want to improve and they want to excel. And I can imagine everybody wants the same thing, right? Which is, how do we get more? We're keeping the stress levels down. How do we get more and offer more patients, more of our treatments? And we have to understand first that we are in business. And in business, you have to sell. However you want to disguise that word, where you're offering treatments or we're providing care or we're selling products. We are in the business of selling. Now, some people in this industry, especially healthcare and dental, they don't like that word. They associate sales with pushy. They associate sales with that double glazing type person that won't leave your house until you sign. And it's like, hey, I'm not a natural born salesperson. And what we have to do is we have to first dismantle that thinking, because technically we're all in sales. Every single one of us, including a parent that's at home with their child, is in sales because we're selling an idea. We're teaching them a way to do that. When a patient comes to a dental practice, we're educating that person into why this treatment and not this treatment, and here's what you need. So really, we have to first establish that we're in the world of sales.
If I can just add one thing on what you just said right now, because a month ago I was reading a book called Never Split the Difference. It's written by a guy named Chris Voss. He was an ex-FBI negotiator, hostage negotiator. And he said everything in life is negotiation.
Absolutely. Right?
So negotiation saves in some way.
Absolutely correct. And it's the thing about words, because right now you and I are speaking. I'm using words, you're using words. All of your listeners, they're listening to our words. And the issue is that everyone has an interpretation of every single word they've ever learned. So if I say to you strawberry, for example, that sets off a different thought process in your mind to somebody else. Somebody may think cream. Somebody may think ice cream. Somebody may think fruit. Or somebody may have bitten into a very bad strawberry one day and never had strawberries again. So they think, ugh. So first of all, it's our experience of that word and it's our interpretation of that word. So using words like negotiation, using words like sales, it's actually the same. Now, here's the best way that I find to handle the world of sales is change the spelling of the word sales to information. That's all you have to do. Change the word sales, cross the spelling out, and now write information, because that's exactly the same thing. You mentioned the person in that book, negotiation. They're just transferring information.
So instead of thinking about sales as having that one perfect pitch and just, you know, relying on it to work, and then, you know, the patient will say yes, we have to think about it as an ongoing thing, an exchange of information. Is that what you're saying?
100%. It's exactly what we're saying.
Can you give me an example to highlight this this information to all the audience?
Yeah. Here's the example I want to give. A patient will find you through marketing, and then they call you. We pick up the phone and we'd be super nice. Hi, welcome to the dental practice. My name is Nin. How can I help? And the patient's going to ask a question. I'm interested in dental implants. I'm interested in ortho. I'm interested in your Invisalign offer. And what we would do is we go on auto response and we respond to their questions. So the patient may ask something like, hey, I've had three consultations with Invisalign. I'm looking for the best deal. What's your price? And the person on reception who's answering the phone will respond. Say, hey, our price for Invisalign is this, this, this. And we give a free toothbrush. And you've got to go through a consultation. And what we're not realizing is that we are conditioning ourselves in our mind and we start to want to sell the treatment. So if you listen to recordings of phone calls, what tends to happen is the person, again, very general, right? Not painting everyone with the same brush, is that it's very easy to start selling Invisalign over the phone, for example. Invisalign is amazing. It's clear. No one can tell. You know, and we give you sets of aligners and we use IPR and we use a scanner. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't try and sell the treatment over the phone. The purpose of an inquiry, and an inquiry meaning a phone call, email or web form or an inquiry bot, it doesn't matter. There's only one purpose. The purpose is to get the consultation booking. So if we go step back a bit, marketing has one purpose, and that is to be considered by the person looking. So to get people to your website, that's marketing. When they get to your website, the point is to get the lead, the inquiry. Now, whether you use InquiryBot or phone calls, it doesn't matter. Once you get the phone call, for example, you actually get the lead. There's only one purpose, get the booking. Now, it comes back to your question. We don't want to say yes to everyone. You can't just say, come in, book. That's not wise.
Is this where you qualify these leads?
This is why the qualification is so important.
And how do you do it? Can you elaborate more?
We have to understand the purpose. If the purpose is to get bookings, then you're just going to let everyone in. And this is why I see the same thing with a lot of practices where they offer free consult, right? Because they just want to get the people in. And the problem with free is that we know that in life, nothing is free except a smile. I say that to my daughter, right? Nothing free is in life, nothing is free except a smile. In the world of business, nothing is free. So we definitely want to get away from free. You have to put value on the time, and that's why you must always ask for a deposit, okay? Because my philosophy is when you pay attention. If you pay money, you pay attention.
Okay. And when they pay, this is the first step of selecting your patients, right? You're eliminating the shoppers that way.
Correct. My point is this, and this is so deep, just this one segment, we can go so deep, and I know we've got to be conscious of time. What we're talking about is qualification. What we're really talking about is time. If you don't qualify, what you're doing is you're wasting your future time. Let me explain. Patient calls, we'd be super nice on the phone, how can I help? And they say, hey, I want to book. Now, the average person would book them in, thank you very much, we need a £25 deposit, don't worry, you get it back, and say all the right things. But if you don't qualify that person before they come in, what you're doing is you're really wasting your future time with the person who's going to see that person. Because if you don't ask the series of questions that you should, the patient comes in, they could be underage. They could have braces on already. I can imagine your audience will smile when I say, how many times have you had a patient come in and they've already got Invisalign or they already got fixed braces on? And you say, hey, you've got braces already. And they're like, yeah, I've got the treatment from a guy down the road. I just want to see, is he doing a good job? You know? So yeah. You have to qualify. Or for example, a patient might walk in and they come to see you. They're super keen, but they're visiting from China or another country. You know, it's different now with COVID and traveling. But let's say, for example, they're not from your local area. And that causes a problem because if there is an issue and they need to come in, then that's going to be a problem. So you have to ask qualifying questions. Why? Don't waste your time when the patient comes in. So we have to first ask the question we should be asking ourselves is, what's the point? What's the purpose? What's the objective? If the objective is to book as many consults as possible, well, then that's not wise. If the objective is to book qualified consults that when they come in, the higher chance of them converting into treatment, then spending that extra 6 minutes on the phone is so valuable. Because when they come in, that patient now has cost you probably about £150 from start to finish. When a patient walks into your practice, it's probably cost you up to £200 for them to be in your practice, in your chair, from marketing, yeah, attraction.
In your experience, who is usually responsible for that role in the practice? Because I imagine this is not the role of the treatment coordinator, neither.
It's a good question. So this is this whole new role about the NPC. So we make reference to TCO, right? These acronyms. NPC is new patient coordinator. Some of the audience now will call these lead ninjas. Okay. They are the most, now I've been doing this now for a few years. Okay. The NPC lead ninja is the most valuable person in the business because they're the spearhead and they're in the trenches.
The front line, right?
Front line, gatekeeper, call them the bouncer. Okay. They're so valuable. Some dental practices don't invest enough into their NPC, their new patient coordinator. Some practices may think, hey, let's just get, you know, you might have a nurse who's now bored of being a nurse. Hey, that's okay. We like you. Why don't you now become the NPC? And that's not the smart move because what you want is someone who's been trained in qualifying your patients before they come, right? So qualifying the prospect, yeah.
So when you train someone in the practice to have this new role, right, this NPC, you'll be the one selecting the profile and then you'll be the one training her or him, right? So let me ask you this, in a very simple way, what is it that you say to them? What are the main elements that you try to teach them so that they can do their job perfectly?
Yeah, okay. So that's interesting, Ryan, because now we're going into a different side of the same problem. So we're talking about the recruitment of an NPC is so valuable. So I'll give you a little example. Anyone who's looking to recruit, we know that the climate right now, there's so many people out there looking for work. And we are now facing with social distancing, remote working, things like this. It actually puts dental practices in a very, very strong position. Because now, technically, with technology, Like, for example, I'm in the center of the UK. You're in Paris. We're connected through technology.
Correct.
NPC role now, dental practices have an opportunity to have somebody in a different country, in a different part of the country, who's not even connected to the practice physically. And as long as that person is efficient, they can book very, very qualified patients for you. Plus, they can work, you know, when you say full time, it's they can work 40 hours across 7 days. So you might hire somebody and say, hey, look, you're full time. We want you to respond to the inquiries that we're getting, because inquiries don't come 9 to 5. Inquiries come 3 a.m., 4 a.m., midnight, right? So a person should be able to work a couple hours on a Saturday. A person should be able to work a couple hours on a Sunday. Sunday is the best converting day, by the way. Okay? So we can be really flexible. Yeah, absolutely, guaranteed. If you want the best conversions, open your practice on a Sunday, I guarantee you.
Yeah? They're actually out, you know, out of office hours, right?
Okay, very good point. Out of office, if you translate those words, it means stress-free. We generally open our practices 9 to 5, and we tend to see people who are in work mode. That's why when they come, it's very fast, bam, bam, okay, I've got to get back to work, or I'm in a lunch break, something like this. Whereas if you take that away and patients come in, say, 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 p.m. at evening or even 8 p.m. Now, there's a trend about opening 8 to 8, things like this. But when you take the stress away from the patient, which is what we should be doing at every stage of the process, is they are now more attentive to you in their consult, and they're not thinking about rushing back to work. So Saturday consults are very, I would say they're worth more in terms of conversion. Sunday patients, the best, because Sunday is the day of resting and they have no distractions in their mind and you've got a higher chance of conversion. So yeah, we're kind of opening so many different avenues now of speaking, okay? So number one, we're in the business of sales. Change sales to the word information. It's the same thing. When the person says, yes, I'd like to come and see you in your practice, don't take that as a booking. Say to them, Ryan, thank you very much. And before I book you in, can I just ask you a few questions?
What I really like about this new role, NPC, they have all the time in the world, right?
Well, technically no, but I know what you mean is...
compared to dentist.
Yeah, correct.
So much more time in teaching that patient and answering all of his questions, whether a dentist would be like...
This is why you shouldn't have the phones ring on reception. Yeah, this is why you shouldn't have the phones for new patients on reception, because the reception is a completely different function. They should be welcoming patients and treating when the dentist brings them out again, something like this. But NPC, new patient coordinators, if you spend the extra 6 minutes, and I've got a list of questions, which I don't think we're going to have time to go through right now, but I'll give you one or two. When the patient says, yes, I would like to book, you then say this, Ryan, thank you very much for that. I can get you booked in. But before I do, can I ask you a couple of questions? Very important. Wait for their response. They will always say yes. And then you say, are you over 18 years old? Yes. Brilliant. Have you had braces before? And there's a series of questions. Now, why is it important if they had braces before? If they've had braces before, you know that they know the pain threshold. They know that they've got to commit. They've got to be engaged with the treatment. And then you can say something like this. Oh, great. You had braces before. Wonderful. How long ago? Oh, when I was a teenager. Okay, brilliant. And how did you find the experience? Well, I didn't wear my retainer. Well, that's fine. Well, technology has moved on since then. And the good news is we've got an offer with retainers, but I'll tell you more about that later. And there's a series of questions. Now, whatever your practice needs to qualify, and whatever some people do and treat people under 18, but spend the 6 minutes, because this is not about getting the booking. This is about the patient. Don't waste their time. Forget yours. Don't waste their time. So when they come in, you've got a series of information that they've given you, and you have to utilize that information. Hey, you told me that you've got a wedding in 12 months. How's it going? Fantastic. You've called us at the right time. You know, the average treatment is about 9 to 11 months. Just in time for your wedding. You do not want to be worrying about your smile on your wedding day. Something like that. Okay. So 6 minutes before you take the booking. Right, before you ask for that £50, saying thank you very much for calling us, let's get you booked in. But before I do, can I ask you some questions? And those questions will save you hours. Forget the money, will save you hours of wasted time.
And so the end result is every patient that you talk on the phone, you do the whole selection process. And at the end, everyone that comes and sits on your dental chair is going to be a patient.
Technically, no, but you've got a higher chance. This is all about eliminating waste. Let's put ourselves in the best chance, right? If you do if your goal is to lose weight and be fitter, if you do exercise, the chances are that's going to work. If you continue eating Jaffa cakes, it's not going to work, right? We have to be smart by asking those questions, by asking those 10, 15 questions, which takes literally 6 minutes. You are saving yourself hours of time. And also the heartache. There's nothing worse when a patient walks in and is completely unsuitable for treatment. And you think, you know what? I wish I asked those questions. I would have saved our time. I would have saved that slot for someone who could have had it.
Yeah, I see your point. That is at the same time, what you just said is very helpful. And at the same time, I'm still very intrigued and curious to see this, you know, the rest of the journey and this whole long process that you have in place. Unfortunately, we don't have all the time in the world to do that today. Yes. But the good news is that we are having a mini series and we will tackle each of these issues. So in the next episodes, I hope we'll be talking about marketing. We will be talking about the role of technology, such as chatbots and virtual consultations, artificial intelligence. And we'll be also taking it a bit further by talking about how to monitor this whole treatment along the way and even after the treatment. So yes, a lot of good nuggets to come, a lot of great episodes to come with you, Nin. I'm very happy and excited about this.
Yeah, me too.
I think this was a great way to start this whole mini series.
Yeah, and you know, it's what's frustrating, I can imagine, maybe for some of your listeners, but definitely for me, is like it's like we can talk about one piece, but each piece has, it can go deep.
Yeah,
you know, marketing is like a subject, but it's so deep. Qualification, it can go deep. Like, what are those 10 questions you need to ask? You know, and like if I said to you, hey, you know that there's four things a patient needs, and if you miss one of those four, they won't say yes. Like, that's valuable information. And what are those four things? So hopefully we're going to cover things like that and have the audience come back in the next segment.
Exactly, because it is all interconnected. So you cannot miss one piece of the puzzle.
Yes, absolutely. Nothing worse than having a jigsaw and you're missing the piece that covers the face, you know?
Exactly. So Nin, thank you so much for this. Thank you so much for your time. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. It's a pleasure to see you virtually. It's, you know, we're in February 2021. We're still doing the Holy Games, still going strong here.
Yes.
Until we meet next time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to everyone listening. And I hope that was valuable. And I look forward to the next one.